Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Take a trip into my garden. I've got so much to show you. The fountains and the waters are begging just to know you.
Hi, I'm Dom Alessio, and this is Other Side of the Tracks. Each episode, we feature a new release and talk to the artist about the inspiration, meaning, and stories behind each song. In this episode, we take a look at Bloom, the latest album by 23-year-old singer-songwriter Troy Sivan. Since the 2015 release of his critically acclaimed debut album Blue Neighborhood, Sivan moved to LA and continued to refine his songwriting. Inspired by a series of personal experiences, he went into the studio wanting to push the boundaries and expectations of pop music. Alongside a number of collaborators, including Leland and Ali X, who you'll hear from in this episode, Sivan created a record that is brimming with confidence. Here's Bloom by Troy Sivan.
I think if I could take listeners anywhere, it would be driving with the windows down. I feel like that's where I always do my best musical listening, with a really good sound system and turn really, really loud. The album's called Bloom, and it was inspired by a song that I wrote called Bloom, but the word just kind of like, I was scrolling through some poetry that I was reading, and that word stuck out at me and inspired that day of songwriting, and then the word just kind of like stuck with me. I think it really reflected, you know, just how I felt about where I was in my life. I feel like I've spent a lot of time over the last couple of years doing a lot of sort of self-actualization, I think. You know, I spent a lot of time thinking about what I wanted to achieve and who I wanted to be, and also spent a lot of time not thinking and just kind of like experiencing things and seeing where I ended up. And through all of those experiences, I feel like I've come out the other side. You know, I'm still kind of in it, but I feel like I'm at the present moment, just a lot more of a kind of fully realized version of myself. I feel a lot more comfortable in my own skin, a lot more confident, and feel like I know how to get what I want creatively a lot easier. I'm just like super, super happy in my personal life and in my professional life. So everything feels really good. I feel like I've come into my own a little bit. So the first place that I started when I was working on the album was I wanted to go back and get together the old crew.
My name is Leland.
I'm Allie X.
And we have been working with Troy for a few years now, since Blue Neighborhood.
It was Leland, Allie X, Bram Inscore, and myself. And we did like maybe 3 weeks of writing. That for me was important to kind of get the meat of the album and find the sonic landscape and the lyrical landscape and just figure out exactly what I wanted to say. And I came into those sessions so inspired. I had so many musical references and just things that I wanted to show my friends. You know, these are people who have become my best friends over the last couple of years. And it's almost like they're a second half of my brain at this point. So we all just got together and for 3 weeks just really fleshed out where this album was going to sit. From there, I went and took some of those songs to Ariel Rechshade, who kind of put this last little sparkle on all of these songs and took them to really another planet and made them... you know, some of the songs that I'm most proud of on the album. And then for the last little fun bit, I was like, okay, now that I feel like I've established what I'm trying to say and the sound and the, you know, yeah, just the sounds that I want to use across this album, I think I'm ready to go to the Max Martin camp, which I've wanted to do for so long. My thinking was that if you go into that camp kind of not knowing who you are, just because they're so brilliant, it's kind of easy to get bulldozed a little bit. And so I wanted to make sure that I came in with like, you know, a couple of tracks to play them to be like, this is where we're at. Now let's just have some fun and find the kind of like poppiest end of this world. And I think we did it. 17 is a song that I wrote. It's about, I basically didn't know any gay people growing up and didn't really have, that sense of community or commonality with anyone. And so when I was, you know, coming to terms with who I was, I desperately wanted to find that. And so the only places that I knew where to find that were like gay clubs and Grindr, and, you know, just like really put myself in some kind of questionable situations for a 16-year-old or 15-year-old or 17-year-old. And so, yeah, and the thing was, though, that I wanted to write a song about it because I think that that's a really universal kind of queer experience. But I didn't want to look back on those moments with regret, because I don't look back on those moments with regret. I think they helped shape me into the person that I am today. But at the same time, I did want to kind of mull them over and look back on them, spend a little bit of time kind of just reminiscing without glorifying them and without, you know, painting them again with regret. So it was this really tough balance to find that mixture of like curiosity and yes, I want to be here, but I probably shouldn't be here kind of thing. And we went through about maybe 4 or 5 versions of this song, like writing wise, before we arrived at this one. And I feel like we finally kind of captured all of those complexities and nuances.
It started as this very like moody, dark song and concept. We were referencing Velvet Underground, and then we completely rewrote the hook, and then the production became much bigger. It really evolved.
It almost evolved into sort of a Taylor Swift moment.
Yeah, it evolved into the opposite of Velvet Underground.
Which I think we were all really happy about once we took a step back and listened again with fresh ears. I'm happy with how it ended.
Yeah, me too. I went looking for love when I was 17. Maybe a little too young, but it was real to me. And in the heat of the night, saw things I've never seen. Oh, 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 oh. 17.
Plum, we wrote about a relationship that's kind of standing on its last legs a little bit. Even the most like beautiful, sweet, delicious fruit in the world goes kind of bad eventually. And so super pessimistic and sad. Happy to say that I'm way past that in my life. It's kind of, oddly enough, a song that I think is going to make people dance. Like, I'm really excited to play it live. Maybe our time is gone. Maybe we're overgrown.
The chorus of Plum and the post-chorus of Plum, the guitar riff, very much represents the fun, the anthemic, and the colorful side of this album. You know, I think, as Troy has said before, he was making this album with touring in mind, with the live show in mind. And so, you know, when Ali and Troy and I were working on songs, we did have in the back of our minds, would this be fun on stage? Visually, what would this look like on stage? Is this like stadium pop? You know, I think that was always a little bit in the back of our minds.
Anything that sounds fun to listen to when you're in the studio and you write it, it's just even more fun because it's like, oh my God, we just made this, and you dance around the room and you blast it, and you know. So Plum was one of those for me.
We were at MXM, which is Max Martin's studio. That room especially is fun to dance around in.
Yeah.
There's just like, I don't know, beautiful like bookshelves with color-coded books and a lot
like
of room to dance.
There's a
secret door that leads like to another bedroom, and it's just a really fun room to dance in. And when you have a song like that where you can see that the artist is happy in the way that the message that he wanted to say came across, he's happy with how that was delivered. And that song is almost a sad lyric with a happy feel.
I know, happy sad songs are the best.
My Mo Mai to me was about capturing a electricity and like an attitude and a feeling. It's basically about indulgence. You know, it's about like that push and pull in the beginning of a relationship where you're not sure if you're going to go for it or not go for it. And then in the chorus, I wanted to capture this like anthemic, like sigh of relief where you're just like, yeah, let's go for it. Now let's stop running from love, running from love. Let's stop, my baby. Let's stop running from us, running from us.
So we were in Stockholm, and it was like a beautiful day, and we took our time, and we weren't rushed walking to the studio, which was so nice, so we got coffee, and Oscar Górez asked Troy to sing a bunch of different oohs and ahs, sort of piecing it together, and made what was the intro for My My My, it's so cool, and it also served as the bed of the production for the whole song. It goes through it's like he chopped it up and it just felt really, really cool. And it was cool for us to write over it.
Fun fact as well, that gang vocal is actually all me, I'm pretty sure. It's like just me doing different voices. Animal was a really important track for me on the album. I knew that I wanted to have one song in there that was sort of like this epic proclamation of love. Something that hopefully people can listen to in like 15, 20, 30 years and be like, that's just a great love song, you know? Yeah, it's this song about the most primal, instinctive, raw, real love.
I told you something safe, something I've never said before. And I can't keep my hands off you. While you're lying awake, covered all in the night before. I'm high, high, high. No one's got me quite like you. I want you all to myself. Don't leave none for nobody else. I am an animal. Could back me back. It's harder than hell where I'm at. I am an animal with you.
So my memory of writing Animal is I had remembered that I had wigs in the trunk of my car that I normally always have there. And so And so I went to the car, got the wigs, and this was sort of at the beginning process of the album. And so I just wanted us to have fun.
Be off to a good start.
Yes, have fun and not feel like this pressure. So we wore our wigs, and Bram, the producer and co-writer, he's notoriously soft-spoken and quiet, but also when he does give his opinion on things, it's usually right. Yeah. And so he is sitting there in the producer chair wearing what I like to call the Kris Jenner wig. And I believe I had some sort of bob. And Allie,
I was wearing like a red.
You were wearing an auburn red.
Auburn red.
An auburn red. And Troy, I think, had my Albert Einstein like gray wig.
Yeah. And we filmed like a silent video of him like cutting vocals in the wig that day, and he posted it, and he was like,
yes,
new music on the way.
He also was wearing the blonde surfer wig that my friend Dale has put up into a like a high pony.
Mm-hmm. Wigs.
The Good Side was a tough one to write. It was just the song about a very specific situation, a breakup that I was going through. I wrote the song long after the breakup, though, and so I kind of had this distance from it and all of these mixed emotions, you know, because I had a lot of guilt surrounding it, because I kind of felt like I got the lighter end of the breakup. I got to go on tour right away and started traveling, and just had these experiences that kind of really took my mind off of things, and I don't think that was the case for the other person involved. And so I had a lot of guilt. We hadn't spoken in a really, really long time. And so the song was sort of an effort of communication to be like, look, this was not the way that I wanted things to go at all. And I'm really sorry and empathetic that it did go this way. And and kind of like, I hope one day we can meet up and like talk things through and kind of laugh about this, hopefully. And it was like a letter to someone that you haven't spoken to in a really long time.
I got the good side of things, left you with both of the rings. My fingers danced and swayed in the breeze, the change in the wind took you down to your knees. I got the good side of you, sent it out into the blue. The people danced to the sound of your heart, the world sang along to it falling apart.
We all wanted to approach that song with, and that lyric with, respect, with caution, with like love.
Mm-hmm.
And so when writing that song, it was just really important to lyrically craft it in a way that was respectful.
Yeah.
I got the good side. A good side of things.
So Bloom was a fun one to write. We wrote it the day after we wrote My My My, and it was me and Leland and a producer called Oscar Holter and another writer called Peter Svensson. And we were in the room and kind of just dawdling, because the day before that we had written a song that I thought was really good. So I was kind of like just getting a bit lazy and felt like just chill. No sort of urgency. And out of that came Leland and I like sort of whispering to each other about like these really cheeky lyrics that we could write.
Take a trip into my garden. I've got so much to show you. The fountains and the waters are begging just to know you.
Troy and I were sort of doing that lyric in a little corner by ourselves and knew what we were writing about and had not yet let the rest of the room in on that knowledge. And so we were just sort of giggling to ourselves about really what the song was meaning to us. And
wait, does it have like a dirty meaning?
I'll take it as you will.
I never took it there, but from now on.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Started to just write this this really kind of like fun song that I don't think we would have written had we have been taking the session seriously. And we were like, left the studio and we were like, this is, you know, isn't that so weird how the one day you can write My 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 and then the next day you can leave with nothing, you know? And then the producer the next day, we actually postponed our session with him the next day because we were like, that didn't really work out. But we were in the same building as him, and it was, so we had this like awkward sort of like moment where he cornered us and he was like, hey, can I have like 5 minutes of your time before you go into your other session, because I worked on the song a little bit last night. And I was like, oh god, I feel really bad. And we went in and he played it for us, and he had completely flipped this song and turned it into this like really like big like perfect sounding pop song. It kind of feels like a Katy Perry song or something almost. And I'm a huge pop head and so is Leland, and we just kind of like looked at each other wide-eyed and we were like, wait a second, is this actually good? Yeah, so we just started, we like finished the song, and there's this like attitude of us not taking it too seriously at all. And it's kind of ironic that I think that the song that sounds like the sort of most straight down the middle pop song on the album happens to be sort of the most like cheeky song on the album. Dance to This came about from a session in LA, and we referenced a Janet Jackson song that day, and it was, I had seen Janet Jackson at the Hollywood Bowl the night before. It was this like really percussive song that just made me again want to dance. And the thing is though that I'm like not at all a party animal. I love to stay at home and do nothing. And I started to feel like, you know, we were talking in the room and I was like, you know what, after a while all of these parties kind of start to feel like the same thing and like deja vu, you know, Groundhog Day of just the same party over and over again. And so the song is about, you know, we can just stay at home and dance to whatever's on in the house and cook dinner and like make out and call it a night, you know.
We can just dance to this, don't take much to start me. We can just dance to this, push up on my body. And you know we already seen all of the parties. We can just dance to this, we can just dance to this.
You know, as we're writing the song, we were talking and saying, oh, this feels really good, this feels really nice. And then towards the end, we were all bopping and again dancing around the studio. Once we were living with the song, we definitely discussed it in the room. This should be a duet.
I wasn't sure if there was going to be any features on the album because the album feels so personal. And this was the first song that I was like, this could benefit from a female vocalist, specifically Ariana Grande. And it was like, it just popped into my head and I was like, that, you know, her voice like belongs on this song.
I know Troy said this before, and he's so like sweet and humble and does not see himself, I would say, like as like the full-blown like pop star that he is, but he worked up the courage to text Ariana the song.
Luckily enough, her and I met maybe 2 years prior and have kept in touch, and she's a good friend. And so I texted her the song, and she was super, super into it, and I had it back 3 days later with her vocal on it.
We can just dance to this. Don't see much to stop me. We can just dance to this. Push up on my body, yeah. You know we already seen all of the parties. We can just dance to this. We can just dance to this.
Postcard was the first song that I actually wrote at all for this album because Gordy was in LA, and I'm a huge fan of her, and she was only there for like 3 days, and I hadn't started writing or anything, but they were like, do you want to do a session? I was like, yes, please. So we came in and I was like, I have no idea what my album is going to sound like, so let's just write this song on piano, you know? So we started and we wrote this really sweet song about kind of like that moment where you realize that your partner is not perfect.
I sent you a postcard from Tokyo, baby. You never picked it up. I even wrote it in Japanese, baby.
That moment that follows it, where you have a decision to make, like, you know, am I gonna deal with this and push through and try and, like, you know, find out what's on the other side, or am I gonna not? The moment of pushing through and falling, like, even deeper in love after, you know, kind of accepting their flaws and them accepting yours, and finding like a way deeper love than you kind of knew existed. That's what the song's about. And so we wrote it and I was like, again, production wise, I don't even know where to begin. So let's just track it on piano. And we started recording, and I've never done this before, but there was like no metronome, no production at all, just piano and vocal. We did it live, one take, and that's the version that's going to be on the album. We started, you know, we put a little bass guitar on it afterwards, and Gordy put her vocals on it and did these like really haunting like background vocals. And then she did this bridge that like literally stops my heart every time I hear it. I feel like the air gets sucked out of the room. And yeah, her voice is just so beautiful, and it's such an intimate moment on the album that I really appreciate.
But you're still picking me up. Don't put me back down like it's nothing to you. Don't you put me back down. Don't you put me back down. Like it's nothing to ya. Like it's nothing to ya. Take your time, pull me in, push me out. Simplify all the whispers of doubt. Cause I know what you're thinking about.
The experience of writing this album and Blue Neighborhood with Troy have been some of the most positive of my time that I've spent in Los Angeles, which has been coming up on 5 years now. Like, without even getting into the songwriting aspect, just Troy as a person is so giving, so intelligent, really funny, really special. He's just a really special person and a joy to be around and to get creative with. You know, there's so many rooms that you get put in for these writing sessions where you're with someone who doesn't really know what they want, and they're just looking for something that sounds like something else so that it can get on the radio. And Troy really approaches it from a very authentic, artistic place. He has a lot of integrity.
I am just really grateful that we all found each other at these specific times, and that we are all at a place where we can, I feel like we are good at what we do and are able to contribute in that way. There are definitely projects, I would say that a lot of projects are not don't come together as easy and don't have the same chemistry. We've captured really something special, and I think we all recognize that. Yeah, it's just really nice.
Leland and Ali X have become like two of my best friends in the whole world, and the journey of writing these two albums with them has been such a personal one, and I'm forever indebted to them. I feel like every little melody and every little lyric they give me has just been like such a gift, and I'm so thankful that I get to put my name on these songs at the end of the day with their brilliant ideas in them. Wherever possible, I want to share the love, because they are on this journey and along for the ride as much as I am, so it's amazing.
Troy Sivan's Bloom is available now. To see the videos or for tour details, visit troysivan.com. Other Side of the Tracks is produced in Sydney, Australia by U Music Media House, a subsidiary of Universal Music Australia. This episode was edited and mixed by the teams at Eardrum and Forbes Street Studios. For more, visit othersideofthetrackspod.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.